The gap between perception and reality can sometimes be large. The priesthood can be a good example of that. You can call me your vocations director if you want, but you could also call me priest mythbuster as I try to bridge the gap between perception and reality. Myths like the priests don't have a TV at the rectory. We do. Myths like I wear these clothes when I go exercise. I don't. Myths like I don't like sweets. I don't know where that myth came from. But our feast day today gives us the opportunity to dispel some myths of much greater consequence and to understand some truths about what happens to us after we die. I thought of three myths worth busting. Myth number one, that there are three possible eternal destinies after we die. Not true. There are only two. In fact, you've heard me say that recently. Either I will be with God forever, which we call heaven, or I will be away from God forever, which we call hell. So I won't repeat today what it takes to be with him forever or what it takes to be away from him forever. You can listen to that at dodgecitycathedral.com. The myth worth busting today is that some mistake purgatory as a third option, when in fact, all of those who are being purified or perfected in purgatory are already destined for heaven. I think it was Father Benedict Grischel who said, "If I get to purgatory by the skin of my teeth, I'll be dancing for joy because I know my destination is heaven." But the need for purgatory is obvious. And it comes from a simple logic problem. To enter heaven, I must be perfect. Now, St. John says that we will be like God, for we will see him as he is. However, no one is perfect when they die. St. John also says that he who says he is without sin is a liar. So if no one is perfect when they die, yet we must be perfect to enter into heaven, well, then something's got to give. Something's got to change. And that change is what purgatory is all about, where we are perfected, prepared to enter into heaven. And so the truth is that there are only two possible eternal destinies, and purgatory is a preparation for one. Myth number two, I can be confident that my loved one is in heaven. Now let me say up front, I know this is by far the most sensitive of them all. Of course we want to believe that those we love are in heaven. I love my grandmother. I love my cousin. I love my uncle. But it's not up to me to decide that person's salvation. In the same way that I can't judge someone negatively because I don't know their soul, I also can't make a definitive judgment in the other direction. In fact, if I assume that they are in heaven, then I will probably end up depriving them of the one thing that someone I love truly deserves after they die. But that's our next myth. Now, there are two exceptions to this myth, at least two that I'm aware of. The first is if God chooses to tell us that some particular person is in heaven. That's why we canonize saints. If miracles can be attributed to this person's intercession, that's God's way of telling us, hey, this person is already in heaven with me. And so we canonize them. The second exception is if a child is baptized and dies before he or she is capable of sinning. Original sin is washed away, and there's no actual sin possible. So I'm not saying that those we love are not in heaven. I'm just saying that it's not for us to decide. There's something far more important for us to do for them. And that's our third myth. Myth number three is that praying for the dead has no value. It's pointless. Nothing could be farther from the truth. And this gets at the heart of today's feast. The most important thing that we can do for those who have died is to pray for them. Now, part of the myth is true that praying for the dead has no value, because those who are already in heaven don't need my prayers. I need their prayers, actually. And those who are already in hell, my prayers will do no good because they've already made their choice. But this myth is busted for those who are destined for heaven but are still being purified in purgatory. Our prayer for them has great value while they're being purified. We read it in the Old Testament, and we see it in the constant tradition of the church. The Feast of All Souls Day, properly called the commemoration of all the faithful departed, is a day to pray precisely for them, especially those who may never get prayed for by name otherwise. One of the four pillars of stewardship is prayer. And one of the ways that we consider our gifts during this time of stewardship renewal is to think about how we're called to pray. You know, you may not be called to be a religion teacher or to help mow the grass outside here or to be in the Cougar Club. Your tithe might not be as great as someone else's tithe. But I can guarantee that you are all called to pray. You are all called to share that gift that you have. It's also appropriate then that this weekend we celebrate the 10th anniversary of perpetual adoration at the Cathedral of Our Lady of Guadalupe. Pope Francis said recently in his apostolic letter how happy he was that perpetual adoration is present in so many parts of the world. Maybe you've had an hour in the Adoration Chapel for all 10 years. Maybe part of that time. Maybe you didn't even know that there is an Adoration Chapel behind these walls where one can visit our Lord 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. After Mass this weekend and next will be a sign-up opportunity if the Lord's calling you to an hour. Well, I am certainly happy to be a mythbuster when it comes to the priesthood. After all, we don't need fiction when the reality of the priesthood is pretty awesome itself. So while we're at it, why not also understand the truth about eternal life? The truth that there are two possible destinies after we die. Heaven and hell. And purgatory is a preparation for heaven. The truth that our loved ones may be in heaven. We hope they're in heaven. But it's not our job to decide. There's something far more important for us. And that is the third truth, that our responsibility is to pray for those who have died. Again, why rely on myths when the reality about eternal life is incredible in itself?